Before you're seated, go ahead and grab your Bibles, and we'll read from Philippians chapter 4, verses 21 through 23. You will stand if you can continue to do so. We'll go ahead and read Philippians chapter 4, verses 21 through 23 as we come to the end of this study in the book of Philippians. And I have one more message next week that we will be hearing from as we do sort of a review of the entire book. Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 21. Philippians chapter 4, we'll just read three verses this morning. So I'm going to share with you a message entitled, Stand Fast in Gospel Grace. Philippians 4, verse 21, God's Word reads like this. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus, the brethren who are with me, greet you. All the saints greet you, but especially those who are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. You may be seated. Let's join now together again in prayer. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, we thank you that we can lift our voices today in song. Lord, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And Father, I'm so thankful for the reminder that we just had from that song, Amazing Grace. And God, that although this world's passing away, that if we know you through your Son, Jesus Christ, that you are forever ours. And Lord, that we get to relish in, enjoy, glory in your majesty and your glory in your infinite power and wisdom and justice and mercy and love and kindness and grace for all of eternity. Lord, you are our hope. You are our joy, our salvation. And Father, today we join together now around your word as sinners. Many of us, Lord, sinners who have been redeemed through the sacrifice of your Son. But we pray today, Lord, that for those who are in our midst, who have not yet seen the beauty of Christ, who have not yet seen the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, Lord, we pray today that today might be the day where they are awakened from their slumber and from their sleep, and that they go to Christ and that they arise from the dead because of Christ who rose from the dead and is able to give eternal life, spiritual life, to those who were once dead in trespasses and sins. Well, we pray today that Jesus Christ would be glorified in this service. In Jesus' name, amen. Philippians chapter 4, if you're visiting with us today, we'd love to have a record of your attendance. You can provide that by filling out the visitor information form that's in your bulletin and then tearing that off and handing it to one of our folks around here, putting it up on, leaving it in a chair or handing it to me. But if you need a sermon outline, you can find one of those in the bulletin that you could have received this morning. If you don't have one, there's some in the back, and be glad for you to grab one of those as we'll be working through this text today. We've began chapter 4. Remember the very first verse, Paul told the church in Philippi to stand fast in the Lord. At the end of that verse, he says, stand fast in the Lord, beloved. And we've kind of walked through this passage, and we've seen how Paul instructs them and how they were to stand fast in conflict. They were to stand fast in their thinking. They were to stand fast in giving, and they were to stand fast, as we see this week, in gospel grace. And really coming to the conclusion of our exploring this book together. We're going to begin, first of all, by looking at this, and we're going to see in our first point of verse 21, simply greeting to all. We find that there in verse 21, where Paul writes to them, greet every saint in Christ Jesus, the brethren who are with me, greet you. We're going to kind of work through these, asking some questions and answering questions. We're going to ask these questions. Why a farewell greeting? You usually give a greeting at the beginning of something, right, rather than at the end. And secondly, what was a saint? And then third, who were the brethren? So as we begin to look at this, we'll see first of all that Paul writes this greeting. Why a greeting at the end? Well, we could boil it down to say tradition. The Apostle Paul may not have and probably did not actually pen the letter to the Philippians. It was probably written by a scribe, someone else there with him, who wrote it out as he dictated it to them. And it was Paul's tradition, as we see in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 17, along with some other places in the New Testament, where it was Paul's tradition to sign the letter by his own hand. And it's likely here, verses 21 through 23, where it was Paul who was actually writing this part. In 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 17, Paul writes there, "The salutation of Paul with my own hand, which is a sign in every epistle, so I write." So that was Paul's tradition. It was probably a tradition of the day as well, but particularly for the apostle as he wrote to the churches. We see it also in Philemon chapter verse 23 and Galatians chapter 6, verse 8. But then we go to our second question, what was a saint? We'll simply define a saint as someone who is set apart. Set apart is the idea behind that word saint. It's the same word from which you get the word holy. And something that is holy is something that's been set apart for God. So a saint is someone who has been set apart for God. Now, if you're a Christian, the words should never come out of your mouth, "I am no saint." Because the fact is, if you are a Christian, if you have been saved, then you are a saint, whether you feel like it or not, okay? So Paul's writing to him here about that. Now, there's a funny story that you may have heard before about a saint. And when we think about saints, sometimes we think about those people in the pictures with a halo around their head, and Saint Augustine, Saint so-and-so, Saint Peter. The definition of a saint is a person acknowledged as holy or virtuous and typically regarded as being in heaven after death. So in some Catholic churches and other backgrounds, they view those who have gone on as being saints. But there's a funny story that you may have heard, as I was saying. In a small town, there were two brothers who, over the course of many years, cheated, swindled, robbed, and generally stole from everyone that they ever did business with. The entire town and surrounding community reviled and despised these two brothers, as everyone was aware of just how disreputable and dishonest they were. One day, one of the brothers mysteriously died. Although they had never attended church, the one remaining brother went to the local pastor and offered vast sums of money if he would come to the funeral and say the appropriate words, and a large bonus, but only if he would, during the course of the eulogy, referred to his brother as a saint. The pastor was troubled by the request. However, it was a very poor church, and the church desperately needed repairs. The parishioners had heard about the pastor's dilemma and were curious as to what he would do. The funeral began, the church was packed, and the pastor started with the usual prayers and follow the rites and traditions as required by the church's teachings. In closing, after referring to the man in the box, he paused and turned to face the remaining brother. As he began, "As you all know, the departed was an awful individual who robbed, cheated, swindled, and stole from everyone he ever did business with. But compared to his brother, he was a saint." a saint. So I guess he got the check, huh? He did what he was supposed to do. So a saint is someone more than that. It's someone who has been set aside by God for God. And that setting aside comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to see that more. But who are the brethren? As we see here in verse 21, the brethren who are with me greet you. I can imagine Paul dictating the letter, signing it now at the end, and maybe there are some people gathered around him, the co-laborers with the Apostle Paul. We don't know who all of these individuals would have been. If Colossians was written at the same time, while Paul was in prison in Rome during those 2 years, then it could have been people like Tychicus or Aristarchus or Luke. Certainly Timothy was there, because we learn from chapter 1, verse 1, if you'll flip back over there in Philippians, that Paul even begins the letter by saying, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ. And who did he write to? To all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and deacons. This is the only letter where we see bishops and deacons addressed in a greeting, where they are together in that way. And Paul writes to all the saints and the bishops and deacons. You notice Paul and Timothy were mentioned there at the beginning. So we don't know who all the saints were or who all the brethren were, but we certainly know that they were Paul's co-laborers with him in the gospel. Now, as we think about where Paul was at this time, we know that he was in prison in Rome. This is going to bring us to our second point, greeting from all. And again, we're going to ask some questions here. Where was Paul and who was Caesar? If you look at verse 22, the Bible says, all the saints greet you, but especially those who are of Caesar's household. So let's explain this a little bit as we think through this. The greeting was to all, that is to all the saints, but now we see the greeting is from all. It's from all the saints. Paul was there in Rome, and he was in prison. We learn from Acts chapter 28, at the end of the book, that he was there for 2 whole years, and dwelt there, and people were allowed to come to him and to visit him, and he was teaching them about the gospel of Jesus Christ and teaching God's word to anyone and all who would come. So he was there in Rome in prison at that time, but we see also who was Caesar. We can basically put down here that he was the emperor. Caesar is found several times in the New Testament, and Augustus Caesar is one, Claudius Caesar, Tiberius. While Paul was here in Rome, it's likely that Nero was the Caesar at this time, or another word for emperor would be king. And Nero may have been the emperor while Paul was in prison, which would have been around 60 AD. Again, it's about 10 years after Paul first went to Philippi. And the connection with that church has continued over these years. Their fellowship in the gospel has continued over these years. And Paul is writing back to them here. While you're reading through the book of Acts, note that from verse chapter 21 all the way through the end of the book, chapter 28, the Apostle Paul is in prison somewhere. He is under arrest somewhere. He's moving from Ephesus eventually to Rome. But in the book of Acts, from 21 to 28, Paul is under arrest during that entire time that you're reading through that book. So Caesar is found there, or he mentions there in verse 22, but especially those who are of Caesar's household. All these greetings are given. Now, the book of Romans was written probably about 3 or 4 years before the book of Philippi. If you're reading through the book of Romans and you come to the 16th chapter, what you find is there's a ton of names in chapter 16 in Romans, right? So what we know is that there were saints already in Rome. There were believers in Rome already. There was a church established there. So when Paul is writing to the church in Philippi, some of the folks that he may have had in mind when he said, all the saints greet you, may have very well been many of those who were found in Romans chapter 16. So it's important to make that connection as we think about the letters that were written and the time frame in which they were written. Romans was probably written 3 or 4 years before the book of Philippians was written. Now, let's move on to our next point. I know there's a lot of blanks to fill in there from those questions, and if you didn't get them all, then that's okay. Don't worry about it. But we can get those for you, or you can look onto your neighbors and cheat. It's okay to cheat in this situation. In verse 23, we're going to see our next point, grace to all. And we'll answer these three questions. What is grace? Who needs grace? And who is this grace from? What is grace? Who needs grace? And what is this grace from? In verse 23, Paul writes, he says, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." If you look back over at chapter 1, verse 2, Paul writes there and he says, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Grace was vitally important, and it is vitally important from beginning to end in the Christian life. So we'll define grace in this way. It is undeserved kindness. Many of you may have heard it as being undeserved or unmerited favor. We're defining it today as undeserved kindness, and that undeserved kindness comes from God. I'll read this article as far as trying to explain grace a little bit. When a person works an 8-hour day and receives a fair day's pay for his time, that is a wage. When a person competes with an opponent and receives a trophy for his performance, that is a prize. When a person receives appropriate recognition for his long service or high achievements, that is an award. But when a person is not capable of earning a wage, can win no prize, and deserves no award, yet receives such a gift anyway, that is a good picture of God's undeserved kindness. That is what we mean when we talk about the grace of God. You see, the church in Philippi, this blessing or was given from Paul, or this wish or hope for them was given from Paul, or prayer, you could even say, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you." And he says, "Amen." Paul understood that from beginning to end in the Christian life, we need grace. And, you know, folks, the Philippian church needed this grace if they were to continue to live for Christ. They needed this grace to apply the instructions given by Paul in this letter. You know, Paul told them so much here in this letter. Even we could go to chapter 4. For them to stand fast in the Lord, they would not do that by pulling themselves up by their bootstraps and just saying, "I'm going to do it." They would not be able to help Euodia and Syntyche work through the conflict that they had going on just by their human wisdom. They would not be able to think rightly, to think on those things which are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, of good report, of virtue, and that are praiseworthy, just by willing themselves to do it. They would not be able to be content in whatever state they are in. And they would not be able to continue to give sacrificially were it not for the grace of God in their life. And church, I want to remind you of something this morning. When we hear God's word preached or taught to us, when we read it, we cannot do this apart from the grace of God. We cannot and we will not live the Christian life apart from the grace of God in our lives. Because were it not for God's grace, we would run from Him. We are prone to wonder, "Lord, I feel it." And see, that's what we are all capable of, and that's what we will all do if it's not for the grace of God. God's grace is wonderful, isn't it? It displays itself in our lives in that sometimes when we are willing to sin, the opportunity is not there. And then other times, when we're not willing to sin, And the opportunity is there, we're not willing to. We won't do it. And so God displays His grace in our lives, and we will only obey and live out the Christian life and magnify Jesus as Lord if the grace of God is with us. Listen, folks, we're not doing this on our own. We need His Spirit. We need His grace to indwell us. We need His grace in our daily lives to live for Him. Now, that's kind of a quick exposition of verses 21 through 23. He greets all, and there is a greeting from all. And then in verse 23, He says grace to all. Let's go to our points of application now. And I forgot to fill those in for you. We see there, first of all, who needs grace? All. And who is this grace from? It is from Christ. It is from the Lord Jesus Christ. If you look at verse 21, you see it's every saint in Christ Jesus. You know, the word Christian is used very seldom in the New Testament, but in Christ is used often. If you think about that. Christian, used very limited, but in Christ is used often, which ought to cause us to ask ourselves a question. Am I in Christ? Do I know Him as my Savior? And the Bible talks often about being baptized into Christ. Baptized by His Spirit, and then we see it displayed in water baptism as we go in the water, and then we are brought up out of the water to walk in newness of life. So in Christ, and we see in verse 23, for the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. It's all about Jesus from beginning to end, and we are in desperate need of Him in our lives every day. Let's go to our points of application now. Point number one, love in gospel grace. Love in gospel grace. We are brethren. Paul uses that word brethren in verse 21, referring to those who were with him. But it brings back that idea of family in the church, even though they were separated by hundreds of miles. But remember, Rome and Philippi were associated in that Philippi was like a Rome away from Rome. It was a miniature Rome. And it was an outpost, if you will. It was where the military would have been set up. And they would have sent their officials to govern that town or that city. It's kind of like the Redstone Arsenal. We have a military base here. And that kind of sets Huntsville aside or makes us a little different from some of the other cities in the state of Alabama. Philippi would have been different because it was a garrison city. It was where Roman officials dwelt and lived, and they ran that city. It was an outpost for that empire. And Paul here is writing to these believers in Philippi, and he says, the brethren here, they greet you. And as we live in gospel grace, let's remember, folks, that we are brethren. And that love for one another, man, it can be displayed, and it should be displayed for one another, and even spoken to one another. It was so cool yesterday as we were helping the Davises move, that I think 20 folks or more were over there from many from here at New Life Baptist Church helping the Davises move. But there were some also who did not go to church here, but go to other churches in our community who were there to help. And that's the brotherhood that we have in Jesus Christ. And we are able to love in gospel grace, but we see also that we are able to live in gospel grace. You see, the fellowship was functioning there between Rome and Philippi, but we see also that they were to live in gospel grace. We are saints. As I told you earlier, church, if you name Jesus as your Savior, if you've been born again by the Spirit of God, then don't let it come from your lips that I am no saint. Because according to God's Word, you are. Think about this. He even called the Christians in Corinth saints. So and they had a lot of issues to work through. But He still reminded them of who they are in Jesus. And that's the question to ask yourselves. Everybody, ask yourself this question this morning. Have you been set apart by God or to God? A saint is someone who has been set apart to God. In other words, have you been bought with a price? Have you been redeemed? And the way that works is through the gospel of Christ. We are only able to call ourselves saints. We are only able to be set apart to God through Jesus Christ. And the reality is that you are either today, either a sinner who is under the wrath of God, or you are a sinner who has been redeemed by the grace of God through Jesus Christ. You're in one or the other category, one or the other. So you need to ask yourself that question this morning. We all need to ask ourselves that question this morning. Which one am I? Am I a sinner under the wrath of God, or am I a sinner who's been redeemed by the grace of God through Christ? It's serious. If you're not thinking about it, you need to think about it this morning. Because if you're still in your sin, you will suffer judgment before God. I mean, the Bible tells us what that judgment will be: casting into the lake of fire. The Bible says it's where the worm does not die and where the fire is not quenched. It is the place where the devil and his angels will dwell for all of eternity. You see, there's a big, big difference between being a sinner and being a sinner who's been redeemed. Being a saint. You know, you can look the part. You can look like a Christian. You can look like a good person. But God knows your heart. God knows where you are. He knows if you're in Christ or not. Right? And today, this morning even, there's some of you who are sitting there and you know you're not in Christ. You know that you're rejecting the will of God for your life, that you are have heard the gospel, that you understand even the gospel of what Christ has done, the sacrifice that Jesus has given, the love that God has demonstrated toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know it, you understand it, but yet you reject it. And according to the Word of God, that means that you are under the wrath of God. Listen, folks, today's the day of salvation. Why do you delay? Why do you put off the truth? Why do you reject the gift that God has given? You know, we think about it in Vacation Bible School. We use the simple illustration of holding out a water bottle to someone to try to give it to them. Someone who's thirsty. Someone who's even about to thirst to death. And you're holding out that water bottle and you're trying to give it to them, but that person just turns away and they reject it. But really, what we're doing when we're rejecting the gospel is we're not just turning our backs on it, but we also, it's like we take and we slap the water bottle out of the hand and we say, no, that's not good enough. I don't want your gift. I do not want the life that you're trying to give me. Folks, God is extending grace to us through Christ, through the gospel. And through Jesus Christ, you can have the fountain of living waters, which will cause those waters to flow from us and live a life that is abundant in Christ, to know Him and to experience that life through Him. The grace of God. Folks, I pray that we'll ask ourselves that question this morning. There's some folks here today who need to get right with God through Jesus. There's children, there's adults. We've just been playing around with our relationship with Jesus, and it's time for us to get serious about this, because we're not promised tomorrow. But our point number three that I'll go to is this, and I'll point to you, is proclaim gospel grace. I ask myself the question: how did those saints get in to Caesar's household? See that in verse 23? All the saints greet you, but especially those who are of Caesar's household. How in the world did they get there? Now, it could have been that the church that was in Rome was preaching the gospel and that some believed. It could be that there was many who lived in Philippi for a while and then came back and lived in Rome. Those are in Caesar's household. Doesn't mean that it was his family members necessarily, but it could have been servants. It could have been anyone associated who worked for the government, worked for Caesar. So it could have been any of those things, but there's one way that they could have gotten there as well, because there was a guy named the Apostle Paul, who was there and he was locked up. But as he was locked up, he didn't stay quiet. You see, Paul did not have the idea or the mentality that he is just a maintainer of the aquarium. Paul was a fisher of men. Y'all know what I'm talking about? If we're not careful, we just get to thinking about church and we just want to maintain the aquarium. But Jesus has called us to be fishers of men, to go with the gospel. Or if we can't go, like Paul could not go for 2 years when he was locked up in Rome, he preached the gospel to everyone who came to him. Look back over at chapter 1, and we find in verse 12, he writes to the church in Philippi, and he wants them to know something. He says, chapter 1, verse 12, "But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out," verse 12, "for the," what? "Furtherance of the," what? "Gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ." What a great assurance to the church in Philippi. "Yeah, I'm locked up in Rome, but oh yeah, I want to let you know, the saints in Caesar's household told me to tell you hello." The Christians in Caesar's household. The gospel is not bound. The Word of God is not chained. And when we speak it as believers, when we are bold witnesses for Jesus Christ, God will use His gospel to do His work. It cannot be bound. Paul once asked for prayer that the Word of God would run swiftly and be glorified. And that's a beautiful prayer for us to pray as well. Paul preached the gospel when he was there, and he could gladly say at the end of this letter to the church in Philippi, which must have encouraged them, that the saints in Caesar's household say hello. Saint, I want to ask you today to think about your relationship. You see, when we are saints, it's not a halo around our heads. It's that we say, "Hallelujah, Jesus." It's not that we are perfect, but it's the way we are pursuing Christ. It's not that we have arrived, but we have a home in heaven. It's not that we are guilty anymore, but we've been justified by faith in God, by faith in Christ. It's not, we are not in bondage anymore, but we've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for our sins. You see, when we are a saint, we are no longer orphans, but we've been adopted into the family of God, and we can say, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God." And you see, when we are saints, we are not lost anymore, but we've been saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It's the gift of God, right? Church, this morning, think about this individually, are you a saint? If you are a saint, then we say, "Hallelujah, praise the Lord." But if you're not a saint this morning, you're a sinner. But the good news is, today there can be a transformation. Believe the gospel that Jesus died for our sins, that He was buried and rose again. The Bible tells us when that happens, when you believe with all your heart, that He takes you from being in the kingdom of darkness and He translates you into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your Word this morning. And Father, I just pray that we question ourselves, ask ourselves, Lord, help us, give us life so that we can, Lord, honestly look at our own hearts, our own souls, and Lord, be real with ourselves to know if we are a sinner or a saint. And Lord, I pray today that hearts would be burdened, conviction would be real, and that repentance would be experienced in hearts, minds, souls today. Lord, we are grateful for Christ and His love for us, Your love for us, God, as You gave Your Son for us. Lord, please let us not reject that gift any longer, but to accept it like a little child. Lord, knowing that we can't earn it, we can't pay it back, but we accept it freely from You. And Lord, we're going to, as we take the Lord's Supper in a while, Father, I pray that that bread and that cup will be a very real reminder to us of what Jesus has done for us. Lord, thank You for everyone here. Please work in our hearts, God. Humble us. Make us a people pure and holy and powerful for You. And we pray in Christ's name. Amen.